Hello.
Hey.
You're listening to Peninsula Obscura. I'm Karina Kolb.
And I'm Rachel Peacock.
This is a podcast about the strange and unusual state of Florida.
We'll talk about Florida's weird history,
paranormal activity,
and of course, true crime.
Each week, one of us researches a topic, and then we talk about it in depth.
Let's dive in. It's us. We're back.
We're back.
Corona has yet to have gotten us.
Another week in quarantine.
Yeah, the quarantine's got us, though.
Yeah. I think there's only a few things that are keeping me sane right now. One of them is Animal Crossing.
See, I don't have that. But I also have started two new books, so that's cool.
You can read two books at the same time?
yeah, I have one in one hand and one in the other. And then I just, like, keep reading.
But still.
I've never done it. We'll see. I honestly could not sleep the other night. I hadn't picked a new book yet. And then I went off my shelf and I have, a screenwriting book that I've been meaning to read for, like, since I ordered it like 5 years ago, and I was like, this will put me to sleep. But it actually was really good, so I started that one, and then I got a notification that one of the books I had been keeping, I guess I had like requested it from the library, that was on like, I was on wait, mm-hmm. a wait list for, like, became available. So I was like, oh my god, I have to like say that I can take it now, right?
Yeah, you
so now I have two books, and I found out that book is like 40, it's an audiobook, and it's like 46 hours long.
Oh my god, what is it?
It's The Count of Monte Cristo. I've never read it. Have you read it?
I've never read it.
I heard it was good.
I've heard it's good too.
Because I've seen the movie. I honestly don't remember what the movie was about. I just know that it's got action and like romance, and it's got it all. But I told my two friends about it, and they were like, yeah, we've read that. And I'm like, you have? And they're like, yeah, we read it in school. So I didn't know if it was like, I just missed that in school.
No, I didn't read that one in school. We didn't read a lot of classic literature in school, though, honestly.
I didn't either, but I also was not in like honors English, even though like I think I'm pretty good at English stuff.
Well, anyways. I was, and I was an English major.
Yeah,
and I still haven't read it, so don't feel bad.
Okay, good. Well, I mean, I guess I don't feel bad now. I'm reading it, so
yeah. Tell me how it is.
I will. I like it so far. It's from like the 1800s when someone wrote it.
Yeah, in
Spanish, I think.
Anyways, yes. the other thing is Tiger King.
All right, Tiger King. Is something that's been trending a lot, and for those of you who watched and those of you who have not, if you haven't known this already, part of the story takes place, or part of the documentary series takes place in Tampa, Florida, and there is a episode, I think it's the third episode in, that kind of delves into the topic that we're going to talk about today, we're kind of going to discuss. I tried not to have any big spoilers because if you still want to watch it, or if you, most of the actual documentary show focuses on other things other than this specific incident.
We won't talk about the outcome of the documentary or anything like that. So
yeah, we're just talking about
the first three episodes basically.
Yeah. So we're talking about, the disappearance of Jack Don Lewis, which I'm sure you saw with the title of this episode. But if you're with us and you've seen Tiger King, it might be a little more fun for you, even though it's still fun to hear about this story because it's definitely a intriguing topic just because it's an unsolved case.
Yes.
Now, I figured I would start off. I did a little bit more research, basically about the case, because in the series they obviously have interviews with people involved with this case and speculation, and there are a lot of theories that are thrown around in the documentary, but I kind of wanted to get down to what was documented in the news during that time and over the years that this has remained unsolved. So with that being said, I wanted to start off with just an abridged version for those of you who don't know about the case, and here is a short little snippet of basically what the story is about. Or it's not really a story, I guess this is real life,
people. Everything's a story.
So
we all have our own stories to tell.
And hopefully doesn't involve disappearances or tigers. Unless they're not kept in the kept or they're not they're left in the wild. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyways. We're starting in Tampa, Florida. It's August 18th, 1997. Carol Lewis and her husband, Jack Don Lewis, run a 40-acre animal sanctuary that's called Wildlife on Easy Street. And one early Saturday morning in August, Don Lewis was seen for the last time. He had basically been preparing for a trip to Costa Rica, which he did often, and he never arrived. He never checked in with his wife, apparently. And his disappearance was reported on Sunday. So his wife calls in, says he's missing. And about 2 days later, after he's been missing, his Dodge van was found to be abandoned with the keys on the floor of the car. And essentially, this was like the only clue left behind. Now, this is 97, and the investigators tried to figure out what had happened. There was really nothing that pointed in any direction, really, other than the fact that his disappearance was strange. So that's, in short, what this disappearance is about.
What year was this again?
So 97.
Right.
Yep. And now I think I'm going to give a little more backstory, and like Karina can give her input, and if I'm missing anything, let me know, because this is some gritty details that I think are important to know, just because it's These are facts that I found online. They are not just speculation from random people. They are from articles and news sources. Okay, just important. Gonna say that
important to because know. This is stuff that the documentary doesn't necessarily mention.
Some of it they do. I was surprised, actually. A lot of the stuff that they did mention in the documentary was actually pretty. It kept kind of true, even though some of the stuff said in the documentary I couldn't find in articles.
Interesting.
And that just means, I think, that in the documentary, these interviews that they got, they new information was, like, put to the public. Like, maybe the sheriff's department already knew about it, but, yeah. Here's the interesting... This is why... This specific case is way more interesting than just some random person like dropping off the face of the earth. So before Carol, Don Lewis was married to his first wife, and they got married when they were very young. I couldn't find online what age they were in the documentary. They kind of emphasize this, but I don't want to say what was in the documentary because I'm like, I want to like
well, kind of ignore. Well, she says it herself.
Well, I guess she does.
I don't think
But false. No, but it's not Carol. It's Don Lewis. I guess the wife does say it. So I think it was very young. So like their parents had to sign off on the marriage. I think Don was like 17, and the wife, her name was Gladys Cross. She was like 14 or 15
is what she says. 14.
Yeah, it's wild. So, yeah. Well, from what I saw online, they didn't even emphasize that. But in the documentary, they say that she was 14, which I think is kind of a big red flag. But they were happily, quote, I'm doing air quotes, happily married for a long time. And they had a family together, three daughters and one adopted son. That is, with saying that, happily married with the quotes, it is apparent that Don was unfaithful and he committed adultery with much younger women. And there is a speculation that he had a sex addiction. So he's been around town. That's all I'm going to say. Now, I'm going to give a little backstory on Carol. Before Don, Carol had a husband named Michael Murdoch, and he was her boss at a department store, and she's very young at this time, too, like 17 or 18, I believe. Now, they had a daughter together, and her husband was apparently abusive, and one night they had an altercation that led Carol to throw a potato at him to stop him from attacking her. Now, this is just not like a coincidence why I'm telling you this, because after she threw the potato to stop him from attacking her, which I thought was very specific.
Very and specific.
Kind of hilarious, but also at the same time not.
Very dark, but it's weird that she tells that in the documentary. Yeah. She's like, I had to throw a potato. And you're like, where did you get the potato?
Yeah, I guess she was cooking. But anyways, that night she threw the potato and she left the house to avoid the abuse, which is sad. You know, I don't hate her for leaving. And we don't know the whole story. None of us were there.
No, I mean, but I think you should get out of any abusive, any situation you don't want to be in, especially when it comes to a relationship, get out. You don't need to be in it, regardless of abuse.
Exactly.
But especially with abuse.
So Carol leaves the house. She starts walking down the road. She's crying. And a 42-year-old Don was out driving. So keep in mind that at this time, Carol was 19. So he stopped to ask her why she was crying. So he's like, saw this girl. He's like, why is this girl crying? He probably thought she was like pretty too, but we're not going
to
speculate. But the rest is kind of history. So this is the first moment that they met. They became acquainted quickly, and it led to the beginning of a love affair that went on for years. And I think I didn't get this from, maybe I did get it from the documentary. Honestly, I don't remember everything from the documentary, but I didn't realize that they had been like cheating on their spouses for years before they actually divorced and got married to each other.
Right. Yeah, that is just kind of glossed over, which basically they were having an affair with each other for several years before they even actually left their spouses. But can we just talk about this interaction?
Yep, I was just about to say. So the story that I could not find anything about the moment when they met, because online it just didn't have it. But I know with the documentary, from Carol's words, she discusses the first time they meet. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Don like circled around the lot, like kept trying to get her to get in the car with
him. She's 19 years old, walking alone at night. Yeah. This old man, I mean, he's at this point not old, but he's like an adult. He's like, what, in his 40s or something?
He's 42 and she's 19.
Right. So this 42-year-old man keeps driving by this 19-year-old girl trying to get her to get into his car.
Yeah. And like he does it enough to where finally the last time that he does it, apparently he has a gun on the front seat and he tells her, here, get in the car with me. I'm just worried about you. You can point this gun at me the whole time we're driving around. And so
I just
want
to talk to someone, he says. What the fuck?
Yeah, I thought that was weird. And Karina, in amidst you watching Tiger King and seeing that, I'm sure you felt like weird about it. But this is something that I found when I was reading an article from the Tampa Bay Times where she says, where Carol basically recounts and says something about that night.
Okay.
She says, quote, "I just fell in love with him at first sight." So for me, that was kind of weird. Only I'm not trying to like say, I'm not forcing any opinions. This is like just conjecture. Like, we're just talking about this case. We're not going to like slam people. Like, a lot of people online have talked about the theories. I'm not going to get into the theories just yet, but I'm just saying that isn't that kind of strange that in the documentary she says that she wouldn't, basically she wouldn't get in the car with him after several times, and then they started talking and maybe she fell in love with him after. But why would you say you fell in love with him at first sight? That's something weird.
Everything is weird about it. Everything is weird about it. I will get into my armchair and become an armchair psychologist for you. I'm not registered. I was an English major. I have no knowledge. But if you think about like a teenager mm-hmm. in an abusive relationship, this older guy is desperate for her attention. Mm-hmm. And he's so desperate that he's willing to have a gun held to him just to be near her. That yeah. could make a teenager fall in love, I think, in a warped way, because considering what she is going through at home.
Yeah.
I could see it. I mean, it's creepy. Yeah, and it's kind a huge of... red flag.
Yeah, I guess it's better than nothing. Like, I guess I would feel more trustful of someone if they, like, really needed to talk to me that bad. If they, like, were like, "I literally need to talk to you so bad that I'll let you point a gun at me. And if, like, I do something to, like, if I'm set off by some reason and I start, like, attacking you, then you can, like, shoot me." Like, I guess it's, like, that safety. And
I mean, it's not She just rational. Felt
it was dangerous at the time, yeah. It seems like from what I had read about her past, and in the documentary, she kind of talks about there was a point when she was young and that she was unfortunately raped, mm-hmm. which is awful, to say the least. And it talks that she like had a boyfriend and she was like drifting and like she was like a hitchhiker and she slept under cars and that kind of thing at some points or in her early in her life.
Yeah, before 19, she's saying.
Just exactly.
Insane, the level of fucking trauma.
Yeah.
So basically that kind of insane reaction of someone being like, "I would never do that." Personally, yeah. Especially if they had a gun and they were like, "You can hold it on me," I would say, "Go fuck yourself." I wouldn't even say exactly. that. I would run the fuck away.
Yeah. But because I think she possibly is more open-minded than others and also a little more free-spirited, possibly, that could be why she was like okay with it. She just was like,
yeah,
this person's so desperately trying to talk to me. This
he
is
thinks
cool.
I'm special. He thinks
yeah.
I'm
he thinks I'm right special. Now. He thinks
she's
I'm
19.
Cool.
Like, you know, what kind of stupid shit have you done at 19? You know,
yeah. What have you thought was cool back then?
Right.
And you realize is not. That right. was not cool, Carol. Whatever. Maybe it was for her. I don't know. So, I want to kind of touch on the fact that they had some. Little bit of similar backgrounds. So Don grew up poor. He was known to have worked hard his whole life to accumulate his wealth, and he made his millions through real estate and used car sales. Now, unlike many, he did not like letting people know that he was wealthy, so he would wear t-shirts and jeans, just like your average Florida guy, Florida man. And it's interesting too, because maybe they bonded over this, the fact that Carol also grew up very poor, so they had that in common. Now this is where the Tiger King documentary comes into play, because they both also had a mutual love for big cats and animals. Now after they were married, they bought in bred and sold tigers together, and then eventually started Wildlife on Easy Street, where they housed and took care of many types of animals, including lions. I think tigers, I honestly, in the articles from way back when, I didn't see any tigers, which is weird, but I know there's pictures of them with young cats.
Big cats, anyway.
Big cats, not just like house cats.
That too, though.
They had lynx, ocelots, cougars, and leopards, as well as otters, lemurs, llamas, and horses. Now, it is claimed to be, like, this Wildlife on Easy Street is claimed to be a nonprofit for sanctuary for animals, but Dawn also bought cats at auctions to make a bigger buck by selling them later. So this is during the time that they have this Wildlife on Easy Street, and it is very clear, actually, in the documentary as well, that Carol disagreed with him on this. Like, she wanted to keep the animals. She was, at that time, she was okay with breeding the animals, but she did not want to sell the animals and was against that.
Right.
And from my other research, too, it said that Carol was an animal lover her whole life as well.
And it seemed like Dawn was, at least how it's presented in the documentary, that he's more of a businessman. And like, yeah, he loves tigers, but
he loves money more.
Exactly.
Not trying to talk ill of the disappeared, but, you know, who knows?
I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Now, the interesting part, too, is from the documentary, we're kind of only getting the perspective from the family and his family that he kind of left behind and Carol, so I don't know. It's kind of a balance of like people who knew him, but only by like, we could probably only really get to know him by interviewing him himself, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Everything has a bias. Every interview has a bias to
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Now I'm going to add another fact in here, and I have a couple more just because I want to make sure that I am giving out most of the information that gives a little more background. So Lewis, and I'm talking about Don Lewis, he liked to fly planes and he did this a lot. He also did it illegally. Mm. he would fly frequently without a pilot's license and irresponsibly. Now in the documentary, Carol mentioned that he has crashed that he's crashed his plane several times. I found out that in 1988, he hit some wires while flying during a storm. And this was because he did not get the proper weather briefing he needed to before taking off. Now, this kind of just adds to his character. Like, it seems like this guy was just like, I don't care. I'm going to fly this plane regardless. Like, I know how to do it. Like, I don't care if I got, like, revoked. My pilot's license was revoked. So in saying that, it's true that like what Carol was saying in the documentary, that he kind of was just like willy-nilly with his planes.
Right.
I didn't
That's
find out
up,
how many
basically by evidence. It's not just her
yes,
saying it.
Exactly. Yeah, which I was interested to see. I'm glad that it's true. So 2 months before his disappearance, the couple, Carol and Dawn, had been having issues. Now, Carol had apparently threatened Dawn and said that she would kill him. And that is when Dawn applied for a restraining order with her, and it was dismissed by a judge because it wasn't really, I guess it was freedom of speech or something. Like,
well,
in the
is
documentary,
that what they talk
about
in the documentary?
This too.
When she filed,
yeah,
when
he
files a police report?
Yeah, it's. I think it was a restraining order. But yeah, basically the judge was like, it's fine. She just said words at you. She didn't actually like threaten you with like an object or something.
Right. And so, at this point, they're still married. So a restraining order is interesting.
Yeah.
In the documentary, it doesn't say restraining order. I'm pretty sure it says police report. But maybe, know.
Well, because I thought that they because like with a restraining order, you have to go to the judge and the judge has to approve it. So the judge was like, no, this isn't grounds for restraining.
Right. But I mean, I think that's what he was going to charge her with, assault or something. And they were like, well, there's nothing, or like file something to be like, hey, like she's a threat to me. But it's just words. Like, it's like the lawyer that was interviewed was like, it's just free speech. Like, she didn't hurt you or actually threaten you with a gun or a weapon. She just said that, which is, and it's like one person versus the other. There's no evidence because it was verbal.
I can't remember, but from what I understand, I just know that a judge was involved and dismissed something about her saying.
Because there's nothing, it's just like literally me being like, oh, well, this person said they're going to kill me. And there's no evidence or like trespassing or anything to say that they're a threat to you beyond they said that. So there's nothing that the law could do because it's free speech.
Exactly. Yeah. It's definitely weird to think about just because this was in the months leading up. Also, this is equivalent to like what was in the documentary too, that Don wanted a divorce, but Carol didn't think he was serious, didn't think he was actually going to go through with it. And that's what she says in her interviews on the documentary as well. From an article from the Tampa Bay Times, it confirms that he visited a psychiatrist because Carol had asked him to, and he did not return for more appointments. So this was before as well.
Interesting.
I think it just started heating up between them. Like, they not, I guess they started having more arguments and that kind of thing in that year. And I mentioned earlier that Don was preparing to go to Costa Rica the day that he went missing, or a couple days before, and the day that he went missing, he was like preparing for that trip. He had been apparently cheating on Carol with women there in Costa Rica. He owned 200 acres and he wanted to move there permanently. Something to keep in mind when thinking about possibly where he could have gone. And he even had two of his ocelots shipped there before he went missing, which is also in the documentary. Now, this is all stuff that I was like, yep, they covered this in the documentary. So I was hoping to find more information about what actually happened. But honestly, I found a few things that were interesting that weren't covered in the documentary, but it's pretty, they cover it. So that's good news for them, even though I got some more stuff to tell you later. That's kind of strange.
I'm like biting my tongue. I'm so ready. I'm so ready to talk about the theories.
Okay, so here are the theories. We got the theories. Karina, you want to tell me the lesser believed one? Do you know that one?
No, I don't know what the lesser.
Yeah, well, you know. Well, you know. I have you know a all personal of these.
Theory.
Okay. But all right. I'm going to give the four theories that pretty much people believe. And this is conjecture. This is just theories. This is not coming at Carol and saying anything. This is not saying Don did anything. But this is just what people think, even though there's no evidence to really support any of this. There's definitely a lack of evidence in this case. Like, the whole case is lack of evidence. So the theory number one, Don chartered a plane and got lost and crashed it. Theory number two, Don left Carol and flew to Costa Rica and is now in hiding. In Costa Rica, probably, with his new lover.
Right, living off the
grid. Yep. And number three, Carol basically murdered him and buried him in a newly built septic tank on the property. And then, of course, the most famous hashtagged, Instagrammed, tweeted, hated on theory, Carol hating theory, is that Carol killed Don and basically put him into a meat grinder and fed him to the tigers. So there you go. that's the big one. And pretty much I already knew about this theory, like, not about the meat grinder, but I knew about this theory even before I watched Tiger King.
Right.
So
it's viral.
So yeah, what's your theory, Karina?
So, okay. The one thing that you skipped talking about, which I think is probably a good call because it's super biased, is in the documentary, they interview Don's ex-wife and daughters, adult daughters. Yes. And the adult daughters and the ex-wife are very sure that Carol killed him. Mm-hmm. But you're like, okay.
But you already hate him, so.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, they're basically no contact with him. Mm-hmm. Carol claims that he tried to disown her. Tried to disown them, which I don't know if that happened or not, if that's real, yeah. But it's what Carol says. And she says that, you know, she thought it was unfair to disown them, so she decided to give them some of the inheritance, right? But they're mad because they only got 10%. But you're like, what? It's the most, this interview, you're just like, oh, I'm sorry you didn't get your $250,000 that you deserved or whatever. Like,
yeah,
you're the most biased people. You don't even have a relationship with your parents. Like, if they had been like, we were so close, he talked to me on the phone, like, every week, and I loved it. They never said shit. They were just like, we wanted that money.
Well, they did also say, like, that he came to them and said that she is dangerous. So, I mean, there's no proof in that, but...
But, yeah, a lot of the stuff that they say is, like, things that they heard. They're like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like, Shelley told us that this happened. And you're like, well, that's a huge stretch. It's
gossip, yeah.
And then, so they think Carol did it. The lawyer,
the lawyer thinks Carol did it.
Well, I don't know if he
Well,
thinks,
he never says. He never says. Because he's a lawyer. Right. But he's like. He, like, does the eyes. He's like,
I think he, like, kind of implies something, like, where he's like, something happened to him. And you're like, what? Like, did he get killed by a gang? Like, what? Like, mobsters? Yeah. Like, what? So.
Yeah, and his business partner, too, thinks. I don't remember what he said, but he was also in on it, too. Like, or he was, like, in on the fact that something weird happened with his disappearance.
Yeah. For me, it seems like the most obvious and realistic thing that happened is that he just crashed his plane and died in the ocean. In my opinion.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, they're like, his car was found at the airport, but no, there's no record of any flight leaving. He flew illegally all the time. He didn't, like, check anything out. He just went under the radar. He didn't have his pilot's license and went to go by himself. And he died. He crashed. The amount of private plane crashes in America. I mean, like, it is one of the more dangerous things.
That is true.
It's much more dangerous than flying commercial. And especially if you're not checking in with your weather and if you're not checking in with the...
And you haven't taken a test in probably like 20 years.
And you're chartering a plane that, you know, maybe you just bought a plane off of someone. Who knows how much it's going to run and how much fuel leaks. And
that's definitely a theory, too, is that he, like, went to the airport and bought a plane off someone. And, like, that there's no record of it.
Because they're like, he could never have made it. He would have had to stop for fuel. And you're like, well, how did he ever get there before? Like... It seems like he would just have planned to stop for fuel and he died before he could get there. The reason I think that is because it seems just like the most reasonable thing. Like, I understand.
It does. Now, I honestly have some, like, facts that might actually change your view on that. Although we don't know exactly what happened, but... I found a couple things where I'm like,
I'm interested.
That's weird. I don't think I got them from the watching the documentary. So my personal theory, I'll tell you later.
You don't want to tell me now? Okay.
Well, because I think after I tell you all this stuff, it might help make you see my theory better.
Okay.
Because I don't want to say it before I tell you the other stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, like I said, these are facts that I found from credible articles, not from Tiger King. Before we would emphasize, like, we saw this in the documentary versus when I'm telling you what I found. Now, during the, this is hopefully going to help shed a little bit more light on, like, what actually happened during that time and, like, what people were doing to try to figure this out. Now, this I thought was interesting, that the Big Cat Sanctuary volunteers handed out thousands of million missing person flyers, which I guess was in the documentary, but they don't really emphasize that, thought.
They definitely
don't. So I was like, that means something. It means that, you know, who knows, but they were actually genuinely trying to look for him. That he was their boss too. So like, it wasn't just, you know, he dropped off the face of the earth and nobody cared. There is no evidence that credit cards that were Don's were used after he disappeared. Don had over $5 million in assets when he went missing. Now that is people speculate that a lot. They go through five interviews and they ask people how much money he was worth. And I'm pretty sure the facts, regardless if he had more buried underneath his property, was that he had over $5 million. So a lot of money. So that's a lot of money to be just left behind.
Fair point.
They investigated, they talk about this in the documentary, but they did investigate him being in Costa Rica. I found one article where they said that he was there, but it was not, it was weird. They included this statement that saying that someone had seen him in Costa Rica, but it was not verified. So obviously they didn't see him. They did not find evidence to support that even flew a plane that day. And if it goes with your theory that he might have bought a plane that day and flew it, maybe not that day, and he just flew it and crashed and went bye-bye. It was kind of strange to think about that he left very early. So he left last time Carol saw him or anybody saw him was at 6 a.m.
Right. But, I mean, I'm sure he left pretty early to go to Costa Rica anyways, because it's a long flight.
Yeah. I think I have this in here. I know that I saw somewhere, I didn't write this down in my notes, but he had planned on, going to Miami and flying out of Miami to Costa Rica. He had bought plane tickets. So I thought that was kind of strange because
that is strange. They don't talk about that in the documentary that he had already bought tickets.
Yeah, he bought tickets to fly to Costa Rica and he did not, there was no evidence of him boarding the plane or anything like that. Now, this is said in the documentary that he was declared dead legally after 5 years, or legally declared, I'm mixing up my words. He was declared legally dead after 5 years, and in a day after. But, you know, Carol was ready to move on.
Well, everyone was really critical of that because she declared him dead so that she could get the married. Money, I think.
And, yeah.
She could have got married. That, yeah, but
that she could settle the assets. I guess I don't know what year she got married to her new husband. But
everyone anyways. Was mad that they declared she declared him dead because he was still missing.
Because he was missing still. Yeah, she was just over it. Now, according to a Time interview with the current Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronsteron, I maybe butchered that. the meat grinder at the rescue was taken off the property a couple of weeks before Don Lewis disappeared. So the meat grinder wasn't even there, apparently, when he went missing. The septic tank, which that theory was that it was installed and he was in it or under it or something, that actually was installed years after his disappearance. There is no evidence that supports Don chartering a plane. We already talked about this. He kind of flew illegally a lot, so who knows? Or even any trace of him using either of his two passports to travel. So he has no, like, he did not make it into Costa Rica, if he was going there, legally at least, because his passport was not used. And he had two passports. I don't know where they were from, but I guess a Costa Rican one and maybe a U.S. one.
Oh, yeah. That's probably it.
It's said that his case is complicated in almost every way and that detectives were met with some type of obstruction at every turn following his disappearance. And this was not talked about in the... basically in the Tiger King documentary, but Carol refused to take a polygraph test on the advice of her lawyer. So, I mean...
I'd heard that.
we did? Wait, was that in the documentary?
It was not. I just heard it.
Okay. Yeah. I thought that, for me, was... I guess everyone is different, and some people are more like, I don't want people to, like...
I think...
breach me or feel like they can't trust me unless I do something, kind of
I think it's
vibe, you know,
actually
what I'm saying?
Super common for your lawyer to tell you not to take a polygraph test because they're not proven to work, they're non-scientific. Yeah. So you could be completely innocent,
actually,
take,
like,
a polygraph test and it makes you look guilty because it doesn't actually work, and it's usually a scare tactic. My armchair lawyer,
true.
But I mean, like, you could, most lawyers will tell you not to take one.
Yeah,
and they're
that's
not
true.
They're
that's
like,
true.
For sure, not like, taken in as like, they're admissible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I think in my head, I mean, I didn't watch the news reels. I didn't watch. The interviews with Carol around the time that she left, it seemed like from on paper that she cared that he was missing. In the documentary, they don't emphasize it as much.
Yeah.
However, we don't really know what she was going through at the time. My personal opinion sometimes with cases like these where the family member or the person left behind from a person that's disappeared, I think it seems that either the person's like, literally, let's do anything to find him, like, we need to, I'll do a statement, I will, like, offer my services, I'll, maybe not a polygraph test, like you said, it's ill-advised. But I feel like in some way it didn't seem like Carol was, this is only conjecture, by the way.
Yeah, it's your opinion.
Yeah, it's, I guess I just feel like she didn't try, even though she had her people hand out flyers. It's just, I think she, by just not making statements like, I did not kill him, I did not do that, she just says that they're lies and says that, I don't know.
I don't know, but what would you do in that situation? Like, what would you do with your resources to try and help? I mean, all you can do is let the investigation proceed. You know, what really
this
can you
true.
Do? You can't, you're not, you... I guess she didn't hire a private detective, you know, like, but you're supposed to trust the system, you know?
This is true. Yeah, I don't know.
I think the documentary does her dirty. I don't think she should have ever signed up to do that documentary because it makes her look awful. I think that, I'm not going to draw an opinion on whether or not she's a good person, but.
Exactly, yeah.
The documentary certainly does not make her look good.
No, it makes her look really bad, and I think it's interesting that you say that she wouldn't have agreed to it ahead of time. Like, she recorded, basically. So this is coming from a post on April 7th. So not, like...
Last April. Or...
No.
Like, just like, now? Like, 20?
Like, 2 days ago.
Oh, my God. Okay.
From the Big Cat Rescue site. So earlier, if you don't know what we're talking about, we talked about... it was called... What
it
is
was
this?
Called Wildlife on Easy Street.
Wildlife on Easy Street. Now, after Dawn went missing and eventually when Carol took over, she basically renamed it Big Cat Rescue, and now she advocates for tigers and animals, and she's the lady that runs Big Cat Rescue. Now, she posted this very shortly ago.
Literally.
Like I said, a couple days ago.
Okay.
Now, it's probably about, like, a, I want to say, like, 10 pages of just reviewing things that were said in the documentary.
Really? On her Facebook?
About her. It's kind of wild. So, the title of the post is Refuting Netflix Tiger King. Now, if you go lower, it says lies in Netflix Tiger King regarding disappearance of Dawn Lewis and other misinformation about Big Cat Rescue. Now, you guys can go in and read it yourselves. I thought it was kind of, I mean, I would feel horrible if I literally could, I did not kill my husband, and everyone in the country was, not everyone, a lot of the people that have watched Tiger King believe that she'd killed her husband, but if it wasn't true, I would feel horrible.
Yeah.
Now, the way that this whole 10 pages about is written is kind of, I think that she wrote it.
I'm sure she did, because in the documentary, she is active on social media. Like, she's making her own content.
Yes, but in my opinion, I think for something like this, I wish she would have involved her lawyer, just because it sounds like she's just ranting and raving about how misinformation was construed in the documentary. Now, even though she's just trying her best to just say, like, what the truth was, I think it's a little much.
My God.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Is there any quotes that you could pull from it right now just to share with us, to give us an idea?
Know, I will just give you a little bit of stuff. I didn't put any in my notes, but I'm on the page right
okay.
now.
Okay, just pull something so we can get an idea.
Yeah. There is...
Take a screenshot in case it gets deleted, too. You never know.
Okay. Okay. Well, here is a little... okay, so this... Each section that she's, like, basically standing up for herself and saying this is not true, this is, like... She goes through different sections. So she finds parts that aren't true and explains why they aren't true. Now, this is the supposed circumstantial evidence. The series makes a huge deal out of Dawn having applied for a restraining order that was denied in that term, in that the term disappearance used in power of attorney document. Both have logical explanations. So... She says, now this is crazy, I think she talks about this in the documentary, but she says that the application for restraining order, Dawn, so the way that it's written is if she's like, it's not like written like with great grammar, so I know that she wrote
right.
it, or someone close to her worked on it with her, because it just says the application of her restraining order, period. Dawn spent 1 week per month in Costa Rica. Dawn was a man who wanted to have sex daily. He would go to Costa Rica during the week I had my menstrual cycle. I accepted this as something I had to live with. And she talks about the junk that he hauled off, that she hauled off the property that was annoying her. And basically, Don tried calling the police about that to stop him, and they told him he would need to a restraining disorder. Restraining order, not disorder. So that's what it's like, kind of her. That's kind of a picture of like one of the parts.
It's just like paragraph. It's just like stream of consciousness.
Yeah, it's literally like, this is what happens here. This is the thing. This is who he was, and this is what he did then. Like, it's very like, this is each topic, and I'm going to discuss
the menstrual cycle thing is hot goss. Holy shit.
Yeah, he would go exactly. to
Costa Rica once a month.
It's horrible.
He was, I mean, a if sex
that's
addict.
True, that's, yeah, exactly. Then he yeah, needs, like
addiction counseling.
Exactly. And I mean, it is said that she had him go to therapy once.
Right, but then he never went back.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it was a bad idea to post on social media.
She says that meat had to be first cut into 1-inch cubes, like you see here, to go through the meat grinder. The idea that a human body and skeleton could be put through is idiotic, but the Netflix directors did not care. They just showed a bigger grinder. So, like, they showed a small grinder, I guess, in this picture that she has. So I don't really want to get into it because this is...
You can go read it.
I mean,
it,
this yeah. is a woman. She has lots of links. She kind of, like, redirects some things, which is, I think, good because if she... I think, honestly, this whole long... all these posts... If this is honestly just, like, a blog post to me.
Yeah.
And she's just saying the thing.
She's just writing everything. Everything she can yeah, think like, of.
Yeah, and stuff that she's like, people are gossiping about it. Now, for me, I think she kind of lives a little bit for being talked yeah. about. She obviously is very interested, just like John, the guy from Tiger King. I can't pronounce his name. Tiger King. That's all I'm gonna say.
Joe Exotic.
Joe Exotic. I'm sorry. No, I was thinking of his longer name. I'm sorry.
Maldonado.
Anyways.
Whatever. Maldonado. Passage, yeah. Maldonado Passage.
Yeah. So he loves to be in the spotlight. And I think in some way, Carol also likes to yes. have attention, even though if it's negative, she doesn't say she doesn't like it. But she still like speaks to it. Some people that don't like attention, they just ignore all the haters yeah. and all of the people that are being
she
nasty.
She doesn't have to engage.
Yeah.
There's no evidence. There's nothing to convict her. So you're hitting on what is essentially my hot take about Tiger King is that
yeah.
all of these people are mm-hmm. narcissists. Joe Exotic.
Yes.
Carol Baskin. Doc Antle.
Yes.
They all think that they are God on earth. They all think that they uh-huh. are. I mean, Doc Antle has a fucking cult, which we won't even touch on. But he thinks that he's God in human form. So does Joe Exotic. Yep. He thinks he's the Tiger King. Carol Baskin thinks she is the one true savior of all tigers. She literally talks about that. She's like, I think if you focus on one thing hard enough, you can make a real difference and I can save all tigers. Like, she is a narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
Are they all on the equal playing field of bad
no.
people? No. The no. one thing Carol Baskin does have over them is she's no longer breeding tigers. Yes, yeah, she used to do it, but she stopped, as should everyone.
Yep.
But yes, she's a narcissist. She loves attention. She should never have agreed to the documentary. And then she did agree to the documentary. And she openly talked about the murder. Like, she should have just been like, I don't want to talk about that. There's no evidence, you know,
exactly.
I don't want to engage with it. But she gave them so much
she
content.
She gave them so much, yeah.
And, like, there's one point where the documentary, I gotta say, it's very well done. It's very well done. There's no narrator. It's just interviews, talking heads.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. News footage. So, in one point, they show a news clip of her being interviewed back in the 90s when it happened. And she says mm-hmm. what her experience from that morning, where she's like, yep, I remember him saying, like, I gotta run or whatever. I can't remember. He says a particular turn of phrase when he needs to leave.
Yes.
Back in the 90s.
And she says the same one.
And then they cut back to her interviewing in the present. And she says
and she
almost
says
the exact same sentence that she said to the reporter back in the 90s. And you're like, yeah. what the fuck? I mean, that's amazing editing and filmmaking that did her totally dirty.
Yeah.
And I can empathize. I'm sure she said that a million times and done a million interviews. So it's like in her head.
Yeah. It's like ingrained.
It does not make her look good. And she's so confident that she is above it all, that she's untouchable, that she just says shit like that. And you're like,
yeah,
the fuck, dude, you look bad.
You're doing an interview about cat abuse and you decided to still talk about yourself. And not that, I mean, maybe they prompted her and maybe they edged her on.
I'm sure there was a lot.
And then it just all rolled out and they kept asking her.
She couldn't resist about it. She could not resist. Yep.
And obviously in the beginning, she was, she went in thinking that the interview, obviously the documentary was going to expose her enemy.
Right. Joe Exotic, yeah.
Joe Exotic. So, I mean, it came back to her, like,
She shouldn't have agreed to do a Netflix docuseries and talk about that stuff. Like,
She should have said, I'm only talking about
tigers.
Maybe either that. Here's the other thing is, like, at the time, maybe she said, I have to speak to this because later on, if the other people that are my enemies talk about it, they're going to come back to me and ask me about it. So that might have happened too. Yeah. But still,
I mean, there's only so much you can do. I think that I don't love the kind of response, though, like mass response that like Tiger King is getting, where everyone is like calling Carol Baskin an evil bitch, and you're like, no, Joe Exotic is a predator and an animal abuser. Doc Antle is a cult leader, predator, animal abuser.
Yes.
Carol Baskin's maybe killed her asshole husband. Like, I don't care. Like, on the scale, she's not the one that we should be attacking. Like, even if she did do it, that's bad. Murder is bad, obviously.
Yeah.
But on the scale of crimes against the world, the amount of fucking animals abused by these other organizations is disgusting. Driving fucking tigers around in semi-truck. I mean, it's just, don't watch it if you're sensitive to animal abuse, because it's awful.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
It's really heartbreaking.
Honestly, yeah. And, like, I do agree with the fact that, I mean, people wouldn't really watch it if it was just like, oh, be nice to the tigers.
Yeah,
like,
there's got to be the drama to it.
Yeah, I think the drama overshadowed a lot of the actual animal abuse. Hopefully people were getting it, some of it, like, subliminally, like when you're watching, like, these poor tigers and cats in the cages. And
all the breeding, the feed
that they're getting, the breeding and
fucking old Walmart meat. That's not okay. That should be illegal. Carol Baskin's right. It should be illegal.
That is true. That's all there is to it. She is right. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I don't hate her. I think that innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. What's your theory? If you're ready.
Well, now, right after I just said that Carol's innocent until proven guilty. But if I had a world where, like, I didn't just say that. But
I mean, it is true.
This is just opinion.
Yeah.
But opinion. Now, I have a theory that basically Carol and Dawn had been fighting. It seemed like Dawn had been wanting to leave her. Now, they talk about a little bit of this in the doc. I've said, like, they talk about this in the doc, but whatever. I think that maybe she found out that he was planning to leave her, and that would have ruined her whole life, pretty much. All of her cats and all
I guess.
Of that kind of thing.
I mean, no way they didn't have she probably got part of his money.
I have, like, two theories. Okay. So, like, either I like to think that Dawn is just, like, he escaped and, like, left her, even though he left her nothing. I think he transferred just enough money for him to survive in Costa Rica, and that he somehow smuggled his way out of there and made it.
Mm-hmm.
Or that Carol found out that he was doing that and they got in an altercation. She accidentally killed him. And with that, kind of solved a lot of her issues. And not that that's anything good, but I still like to believe that she possibly covered him in the sardine oil. And I'm sorry,
people
now
focused
I feel like
on
I was
the
just
sardine
like,
oil too,
Where she did, like, mention that.
Yeah, but it's she such just a said that so offhandedly, and they did her dirty again. They cut put her it in so bad.
So, if you guys haven't seen it, she basically says that it's pretty, I mean, she said you would have to cover a whole body in sardine oil for a cat to eat the whole thing. Like, eat a whole person
She's talking about Joe Exotic. Said that he was sabotaged in the tiger cage very late in the game, that he was sabotaged in the tiger game. His co-workers, whatever, put perfume on his shoes to get the tiger to attack him, right?
Yeah.
So they tell that to Carol Baskin and say, is that possible? Would perfume on someone's shoes get a tiger to attack you? And Carol Baskin's like, no. You'd have to put sardine oil or something like that to get a tiger.
Yeah, so but they she prep says
her. She doesn't say that like about how to get rid of a
that's
body.
What, that's true.
She's like, in response to Joe Exotic's claims that perfume would do it, she's like, no, perfume wouldn't do it. I guess sardine oil or something like that. She's not like thinking, I use sardine oil, you know?
Yeah, but I think for what shocks people and people go, oh my God, she probably did it, is because she's the way that she phrases it.
Oh my God.
And she probably didn't mean to phrase it that way. But the way that she says it, instead of saying, yeah, you would have to, if you like put sardine oil on your like pants or like your shirt or like, and then had him attack, they would attack that. But she says you would have to cover a body in sardine oil for a cat to eat it. Yeah, so that I think I hang on to,
but
that
again, it's because they asked her about it. I feel like I really truly, okay, so there's a couple things that are suspicious. The fact that the meat grinder wasn't there and the septic tank came way later tells me there's no way she did it. Where's the body? If it's not in those two places, where the fuck is it? It's like not that easy to hide a body. Yeah, she has all these acres of lands, but I'm sure they searched it.
I think they searched it, but they only did, like, aerial search, really. I don't know, though. I honestly,
yeah,
I should
mean,
know
it's
more,
like, where is it?
It's all guessing. It's all
you
guessing.
You don't have a body or really a means to get rid of a body. Nobody heard a gunshot. How did she kill him in the first place? She didn't get tigers to attack him. Because that, people would have found out about that very quickly. The tigers would be covered in blood. There'd be shreds of clothing everywhere. There'd be signs of a mauling in the, like, she cleaned that up all by herself without any help.
With that being said, I think it's said that her and Dawn and their employees, they were very, like, tight-knit and also very, like, not easy to like trust anyone. So Dawn and Carol did not trust very many people. So maybe the people that they did trust, they were able to cover it up. But that, I mean, this is all speculation.
That would be
guys.
Somebody that Carol trusted who hates Dawn and loves Carol. It'd be such a specific person who would be willing to cover up a murder and is so loyal to one of their bosses but hates their other boss.
I could see that happening because obviously they both...
You could see that coming, like, happening? You could see a random person covering
not
up
a random
murder?
Person. A person that is in love with big cats sees that maybe possibly Carol is getting abused, is close to Carol that maybe like helped
if
her.
If that
is what
mystery
I'm saying.
Person exists, why haven't the police talked to them? There's not somebody who is actively in love with Carol, like... All of her Carol's right hand people, I'm sure they interviewed.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I guess not.
But I mean, I understand. I just really don't think that she killed him.
I think what really has happened for me, and now I feel like an idiot for saying even my theories, because I feel like I was like thinking in my head like that I had a different theory, but I kind of like went back to the same one that most people have. However, during this quarantine time, I think we're all like feeling very creative, which is something cool from at least the quarantine perspective. And I think people's minds are kind of running wild with these ideas, and including myself. It's kind of fun to think about. We do their podcast and we talk about all kinds of shit like this all the time. So like crazy Florida stories, even crazy tiger people.
This is the most
like, what's not to love?
Florida unsolved mystery of all time. This is so bad shit.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, yes, it is one of the most insane, like, unsolved crimes, but also with like the least evidence.
Nothing. And no information.
Before Tiger King, I had heard a little bit about this disappearance, but I didn't really look into it because Corinne and I had put it on a list, I think, to talk about. And then Tiger King blew up and we were like, oh my God, we can't do that one anymore. And then we realized we're like, we could still do it.
We'll just do a recap.
But before that, people, I don't know. Obviously the Tiger community was talking about it and knew about it, but I don't know much.
I think people, because Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin were so active on the internet, that's how I heard about their, from their YouTube videos and their content.
Oh, okay.
So that's like where they kind of got a cult following of people being like, look at these insane, like, look at this crazy guy running for president and this lady, he wants to kill this random lady. Oh, maybe she killed her husband. What the fuck? But yeah, I'm glad we still got to talk about it.
And their feud.
It's less work. We have to do way less research now because the documentary did all the research.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, documentary said this, and then, but also
the. But you found some stuff that I didn't know. Like I was going to say with your other theory that maybe he went off the grid somewhere. I don't know that he did successfully do it because I feel like they would have found him.
Yeah.
But I do feel like it's very possible that he tried to.
Yes.
Like, if he had girlfriends or even a girlfriend or a loyal person in Costa Rica, he owned land there, and he went every month, he could have brought cash to Costa Rica every month over a slow period of time. So, like, yeah, there's not any big withdrawals. One huge withdrawal, but smaller withdrawals
but over time. Like, maybe not even, like, yeah, because it seemed like they talk about in the doc that he would like hide gold possibly or something.
Right.
He didn't like to show his money, but if he was smart about it, he's a businessman, he's gonna like get the money like without realize, like without being detectable. And it's his money too. He could have had a
bunch of cash. And I mean, it's very possible that the fact that he bought a plane ticket is interesting to me. Is the most like confusing, suspicious thing, I think.
Yeah.
Because he bought a plane ticket and never used it, but then drove to an airport. So the question is, if he was trying to go off the grid, he filed this police report or whatever against Carol.
Yeah.
And then bought this ticket and then didn't show her the ticket to make her look suspicious. This is me going deep. To make her, to like take it off of him.
And make her and look suspicious. And then
dip
suspicious.
In a private plane. He's already has all his cash out of Costa Rica. And then probably die over open ocean.
Yeah.
That's, but I mean, like, that's reaching too. Like, I think both theories are reaching.
Yeah. And the reaching part for me, where my brain starts going, is if, like you just said, he was planning this, he was putting money away, he was going to slowly start moving to Costa Rica, and then this was like the time where he's like, I'm actually gonna go because I'm tired of Carol, like I don't want to live here anymore, I probably got a younger woman in Costa Rica now. From the perspective of Carol, I mean, if I were Carol, I'd be really upset about that. And if she had found out about it, that is where I think where you could be like, maybe she did something about it just because of the disappearance. It's just so, he literally like vanished off the planet. Like nobody knows.
I agree.
There's no, only him and like Carol's the last person to see him. Like I am just so.
There's no doubt that there's motive. There is no doubt that there's motive.
Yep.
But is there means?
Exactly. How no evidence. How do you
cover that up by yourself so efficiently, to which there is zero trace of this person?
Exactly.
Like if she didn't put him in the meat grinder, didn't put him in the septic tank, did she shoot him? No one heard that, like, I don't think it was just her and Don living on that property. Like from what we found out in the Tiger documentaries, like,
their staff
is there 24/7.
Well, they're volunteers, though, Karina.
They are volunteers, but they're still there. The one lady works Christmas. I mean, like, they're working at least at Doc Antle's. They don't talk about Big Cat Rescue in depth, but at Doc Antle's, they're working fucking 20-hour shifts
and like, 7 days a week. It's crazy,
exactly. So the likelihood that people are there, there's at least one person working a graveyard constantly. Nobody heard anything. Nobody saw anything. You know,
weird.
How did she do it, and where did she put him, and how'd she hide it so efficiently?
I hope they figure it out.
Oh and my God, me this too.
Is well. This is like, this is where I kind of want to like close our episode too, because the fact that this documentary has brought attention and fuss and memes, of course, to this cold case. It's been reopened. So it's recently been reopened. And you already probably know this, Karina. But the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office is receiving tips daily, and it's an average of like 6 tips a day, which sounds like a lot, but also most of the calls are people telling them their personal theories, like Karina and I are telling you,
right?
But and not new actual information, but there is like a chance that maybe somebody saw something that they didn't recall and they remember something, just yeah. to, you know, I hope
maybe some staff member that used to be tight with Carol is no longer tight with her and wants to talk. Yep. Who knows?
Yeah.
Or maybe Don Baskin gets spotted in Costa Rica.
Exactly.
Not Don Baskin. Don.
Or his plane is, well, or a plane is found, and like they figure yeah. out that from the evidence from the plane. Like, I don't know how they would figure that out, but yeah. So anyway,
ultimately, I will say that Carol is right. You should not breed tigers in the United
I
States.
Agree, and I think
it should not be allowed.
Regardless of what you or I or anyone has gotten from the article, and not from the articles, from the articles I've read, from the podcast you're listening to, or the documentary Tiger King Murder, Mayhem, and Madness, I think it's called. The big cats of the world need to stay wild. There are less cats in the wild than there are in people's houses and people's sanctuaries private and private homes. Yeah, it's messed up, y'all.
It's really sick.
Let's keep our animals. If they're wild, they need to stay in the wild. We need to protect them. Yeah, so I don't think I'll be visiting Big Cat Rescue, but
no, I won't. I don't think so either.
I'm not a fan of zoos anyways, so.
Share your theories with us on Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah.
Because it'd be really fun to hear, especially if you have one that we haven't even talked about. Love to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. That would be awesome. We hope everybody's doing okay, and that's it. That's the thing.
Thanks for finding all that new information, Rachel. You found a lot of stuff that the documentary doesn't talk about.
It's yeah. good. I'm glad we had our little, it was almost like a little vent.
Yeah, a little recap. not our usual kind of style.
Yeah. All right, cats and kittens.
All right, all you cats and kittens.
Have a good one. It's over. This is over. Stop listening.
Stop listening. Bye.
Bye.
All the music for our podcast is provided by The Murmurs and their album Get Swell Soon. You can listen to The Murmurs on Spotify or find them on their Bandcamp page.
If you're interested in learning more about us, you can visit our website at peninsulaobscura.com and check out our Instagram at peninsulaobscura. You can listen to our podcast on most platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts.